never know what happens when the Holy Spirit decides he wants to take over. So, man, it is an honor for me to be here. It is such an honor for me to open up, be the guy who opens up our Wednesday services again. So obviously, I always want to give honor while honor is due to our pastors, Stan and Kathy, for just giving me this opportunity to be able to speak to you guys. And, you know, I'm so grateful to have a pastor who believes in so much in the gifts in his staff that he allows us to do this and gives us an opportunity to preach to you guys and to teach to you and to help develop our gifting as ministers and as pastors. And so this is so much fun for me to do this because I love you guys. You're my family. And I know that anything that I say, that you guys can take it, you can handle it. And especially this group, this Wednesday group is, y'all are ballers. That's what I like to say. Anybody know what that means? No? Okay, cool. Sorry, that's young lingo. Baller means a good thing. You know, like you got, yeah. Like, you know, that guy's balling. Like, okay, all right. Not like crying. Okay. All right, so y'all learned a new word. I'm not going to go on that rant with, okay. It's just a pointless story about, yeah. All right, it's been a while, but I'm glad to be here. I promise I'm not going to smack the TVs, but if I do, feel free to laugh. I do a lot of things that are awkward that I don't mean to do, and I just make them more awkward for myself just because it makes me feel better. So anyhow, before we get started, I want to go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into the Word. God, we just thank you so much for your goodness. God, we thank you so much for who you are and for your mercy and your kindness, God, and for your love for us, your children. And God, I thank you that, Father, as we sit here today and as we hear your word spoken through the Holy Word, God, I thank you that that word would transform our lives, that it would penetrate deep into our hearts and deep into our minds, and it would change our very character, Father God, and make us look more and more like you each and every day so that we can shine as your children to a world who is lost and who is broken. God, I thank you that that is our purpose here on this earth, is to minister the kingdom, because your kingdom's already been built, God, and we are just ministers of what's been built. And so I just thank you for it, and I love you for it, in Jesus' name, amen. So I was about to start preaching him. Listen, so tonight I want to talk to you simply about what do you see? And, you know, I'm a firm believer that if you can't change what you see, you'll never change who you be. That sounds funny, but you get it, right? Because for so many years, and I'm even going to say for maybe a century, we have heard it as the church that we're all sinners. And it's true because Christ came to die for us yet while we were sinners. But he didn't leave it there. He didn't just say, oh, well, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he completely removed it, set us free from it. So we're no longer identified by who we once were, but now identified through Christ Jesus, right? Being new creations. This is stuff that I've preached to you guys for forever. So a lot of times you might hear the same message coming from me, but that's because that's who I am. And I want you to be able to see that that's who you are as well. So that we don't continue to live in these cycles of disappointments and these cycles of never feeling good enough and these cycles of never measuring up and these cycles of feeling like failures, because I've been in those cycles so many times, but it wasn't until I got to actually see and then from there become. Right? Because that's what faith is. Faith is seeing, or actually really faith is seeing in what you're seeing what you can't see and believing in that. Right, so sometimes what do we not see? The good in us. What do we not see sometimes is the God in us. Because sometimes when someone cuts us off in traffic, God's not the first thing that comes out. But that doesn't mean that that's who you are. Right? You see, sometimes you may be tempted with a drug addiction. And you have been set free from that addiction because you've received Christ into your life. But just because you're tempted to do it, that doesn't mean that that's still a part of who you are. Does that make sense? Because you're a new creation. That's the old life that you should consider and render it dead and cut off. It's a withering branch and move on. So I'm here to ask you today, what do you see? Right? Because scripture says that our eye is the lamp of our bodies. right? I'm going to jump into that. I'm not like saying like right, like question mark, but like right. So if you look here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, it says the lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. All right, so it's the same concept of good trees and bad trees and good fruit and bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So it's the same concept here. The next verse in verse 23, it says, but if your eye is bad, so that means if your eye is clouded, if it's twisted, I don't know any other words for that. If your eye is bad, if you can't see clearly, right, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, then how great is that darkness? But listen, so what he's saying is that if the light that is in you is darkness, then how twisted is your mindset? How obscured are the things that you are actually seeing? Right? Because from reading this, what I see is that we're called to shine, is that we're called to be the light. That's who we are. I have another point in here. I know I do. Ah, great. So if there's anything in you other than light, it's what you're failing to see and become. And that's simply just like being his children. If there's anything in you other than what is light, then you're not seeing the full picture. You're not seeing through the finished work of the cross. You're not seeing how God sees you. So then you fail to actually see that and become that. And then we find ourselves in these cycles and because we fail to see, because our eyes become bad, our eyes become clouded. You know, one way that happens, Facebook. Listen, I don't know if you, COVID what? Right? There's so much going on, it's really easy to become clouded. And it's really easy to allow what you are seeing to cloud your judgment instead of to actually use your eyes to see. Scripture says what in Matthew? That the pure in heart shall see God. Well, our hearts are pure. Anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, your heart is pure. Anyone who follows Jesus and their life follows Jesus, your heart is pure. So with that pure heart, you see God. With that pure heart, you should see God. Ah, I said that one already. If you don't change what you see, you'll never change what you be. I get ahead of myself. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And this is in Scripture where Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus, a man who has not been able to see since his birth. So if you look here, it says, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, see, that was quick. He got there, and as soon as he got there, he left. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, for he is calling you. You see, so here's what I've summed up within that passage right there is simply this, that the things in life that are trying to shut you up will ultimately be the things that lead you to Jesus. Right, but it's all a matter of how you see your perspective, because this man, all he's ever done was sit on the ground, and he can't see anything anyway. Right, he can't see nothing. But how many times do we get a clouded judgment? How many times do we can't see the end of the road, or we can't see the end of where we're wanting to head, right? And then there's people in your life that literally will try to shut you up, but there are circumstances in your life that will try to shut you up. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, have you ever realized that when something happens, it always seems like something else is going to happen, or something else does happen? It's just like this never-ending cycle of kind of what's going to happen next. Right? Something goes wrong here, your car breaks down. Then all of a sudden, now your house is falling apart. Or now all of a sudden, the wind blows your fence down. And so, like, it's just one thing after another. And you're like, what is going on? Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's those things in life that ultimately want you to back down and to be quiet. But instead, we should cry out all the more. Even though we cannot see what is actually happening, or we can't see where we're actually headed, we're going to cry out all the more, because those things are ultimately should lead us to Jesus. And in verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You see, this is very important, because I'm going to get to that. But this is very important because the garment was what identified this man as a beggar. The garment is what identified, this was his shelter. This is something that he would put on the ground. He would sit on it. It's where he would even collect alms. It was the only possession that this man had. And anytime somebody saw him, they were like, boom, beggar. Because he had the garment. You see, so if you, I don't have the passage for it, but if you look in Matthew chapter 6, right after it talks about the eyes and how that's the lamp of your body, Jesus goes on to say, and you can't serve two masters. But why would he say that after talking about your eye? Because it's simple. Can you go to that next slide, Terry? Your eye must be single because you can't hold on to stuff and follow Jesus. That's why this beggar threw the only possession that he had to run and follow Jesus. So that's why he says that you can't serve two masters. Does that make sense? It's like the rich young ruler. He had everything in the world, but he couldn't give up one single thing and follow the Lord. But someone from birth who could not see, who had nothing but a blanket, he gave it up. And he followed Jesus. That's how it's supposed to be. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni." It makes me think of pasta. I don't know why, but sorry, that's just, okay. The blind man said to him, I can't say that word again now, I'm going to say rabbi, master, teacher, Jesus. He says, I want to receive my sight. I want to be able to see. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, the great thing about that word sight right there is in the Greek, you know what that word means? It means to look up. You know, but how many times do we find ourselves not looking up, but we find ourselves looking at whatever the media has to say, looking at whatever Facebook has to say, whatever other social media platforms have to say, and we allow that to cloud our judgments. So therefore, we don't see clearly. And then we wonder why our lives are in disarray and just crumbling. All right, sometimes we need to be like this man and look up to receive our sight. Look up to where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. All right, look up to where our source comes from. So if you look here in Colossians chapter 3. It says this, if then you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things on earth. And this is very important for us to have the right perspective. It's to set our minds on the things above. Set our minds on the heavenly things where Christ is seated. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to get out of here early today. It says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, there's so much going on right now. Within the last 6 months of this year. Right, this year was supposed to be our year, guys. Just like last year. But that didn't work out, so we moved it to this year. Sorry, that's just, yeah. There's so much that has gone on just in the short period of time. And it's so easy for our judgments to get clouded, for our thoughts, for our actions. It's so easy for us as Christians to not act Christ-like in these moments. It's so easier for us as Christians to you know, want to state our opinions because, well, we think we got a great opinion and really nobody cares. Right? You see, but our opinions are only clouded by what we're seeing. The things that we post are only clouded by what we're seeing. And we're not looking up and we're not receiving sight from the source. This is the point here, is that God's peace is not with you just so that you can have peace, but to also be a giver of peace. So if I can sum this whole thing up in that one statement, that would be it. But what does that have to do with seeing? Well, because you got to have the right perspective. If God can get into your perspective, he can transform your whole life. Because by then it doesn't matter what opinions we do have. Because I have the peace of God with me, therefore I give you peace. Right? This is a very chaotic time right now for our world. Right? And scripture doesn't say that blessed are the peacekeepers. It says blessed are the peacemakers. When it only takes one to make peace. And you might be that one. And it's important for us to have peace so that we can give peace. Because if you don't have peace, you can't give peace. But if you don't see correctly, then you won't see that you actually do have peace because Jesus lives in you. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we can still live in peace. Why? Because that's who he is, and that is now who we are. And so we should reflect that very image. So who cares what's going on? Have peace. Because at the end of the day, he's still on the throne. At the end of the day, we are still victors. So in moments like this, in times like this, I ask you, what do you see? Because as people of God, we have to be able to see clearly. We just have to. Because I think that if Jesus was here right now, today, on this earth, in the flesh, and I'm not talking about like in us, yeah, Jesus is in us. I got that. But what I'm saying is, if he was here today walking, I guarantee you he would not be doing what we think he would be doing. it would be a complete revolution. And those who thought that they were right would be completely wrong. Right? So, listen, I don't want to get it wrong. Yeah, I don't want to say this wrong because it's important to understand. I'm forgetting it now. It's, you know, those moments where something hits you and you're like, yeah, and then you don't know how to, yeah, it's just like, you just don't have it there yet. It's just not there. It's just a, there. You know, some, maybe he did. Sometimes, I swear, sometimes Jesus does just like, yeah, Frankie. Okay. It was a really good thing, though. Let me see if I can explain this. Let me see if I can explain what I'm thinking. Because, right now everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be right. With whatever's going on, everybody wants to say something about it, and everybody wants to be right about it. But Jesus didn't come. How am I going to say this? Basically, he didn't come to be right. Jesus didn't come to be right. Jesus came to make wrong things right. To make wrong things righteous. Does that make sense? He didn't come in, oh, here it is. He didn't come in rightness. He came in righteousness. There it is. Jesus didn't come to be right. He had, sorry, I got it. That took a lot of brain power. I need a V8. All right. Somebody tweet that. Jesus. All right. Okay. Let's bring it. I'm glad to be back, y'all. Let's bring it in. But do you feel me? He came to make us righteous. Not for us to be right, but to make us right. So we have to have that perspective. Listen, we have to be able to see how God would see. Right now, in all of this calamity, we have to see how God would see. We have to see, and we have to do what Jesus would do. There's so much I want to touch on, but I just can't. Can't do it. No, I can't. Because I don't even have it all worked out yet. Well, all of that concludes my that message. We're about to just simply step into a time of communion, but keep in mind, though, I want you to be able to keep in mind about what do you see. Because we're about to talk about two men who saw clearly, but only after a moment of communion and intimacy with Jesus. So if you look here in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him." So we're still talking about seeing here. For some reason, their eyes were restrained to not know that it was Jesus with them. Like, I don't know about you, but if Jesus had come alongside me in the flesh today, I would know that it was him. But that's because I have relationship with him, right? He's not a stranger to me, but I know him. Oh, pause, yes. I skipped a bunch, but they're just talking to Jesus about all that happened, and all that went on, and then Jesus kind of corrects him. I'm going to get to this part, though, because this is where it's at. In Luke chapter 24, verse 28. So, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him. You know, this is funny. Like, y'all know those people? They're like, let me give you some gas money real quick. And then they're like, no, it's okay. I got it. You know? I just kind of picture in that moment, Jesus like, hey, you know what, guys? I'm going to keep going. It was great with y'all. And then they're like, no, you can stay. Like, he probably didn't do that. But anyways, I have to lighten up a little bit because it says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. This is important because they invited Jesus. Right? Like, they had to invite him over. I know many times we read that Jesus was like, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come over to your house. And he's like, okay. Like, what are you going to say? No, it's the Son of God. But they went ahead and invited him. Like, they invited Jesus to come to their home. So, like, if you're starting a life group, invite people to come into your home. Build relationship with people. Break bread with one another. In verse 30, now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. That's the communion part. In verse 31, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. So here you have two men walking down a road, and it's getting dark, and some stranger walks up beside them, and they start having a conversation. And then that stranger happens to be Jesus, who is still a stranger to them. They invite a stranger into their home. They break bread. They build a relationship with one another. And then their eyes are now open to see who he really is. I mean, to me that sounds a whole lot like a life group. I'm not trying to promote life groups right now. But we're stepping into a season now where we need to depend on life groups, because if you're not in a life group, you ain't having church. Does that make sense? If you're not plugged into a life group, you're not connecting with people, it's really easy for your judgment to get clouded and for your eyes to become clouded. To say, oh, I'm lonely, or I don't have any friends, or... Does that make sense? I don't have anybody to call. I'm feeling sick. I need to call someone. Who do I call? Right? We have to do this life together. Just as these two men did with Jesus. Saw that, Rita. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. Come on, talk about a powerful moment. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, they didn't quite know what was going on. But the scriptures were talked about and their hearts started burning. They started to feel something on the inside. Come on, that's the iron sharpens iron part. That's the we're in this together part. You know, right now, I can't express to you guys how important it is right now, because we're not going to be meeting in this building, to really get plugged in and get to know somebody. Again, you are a beholder of peace. And you are a giver of peace. So if you never show up to a life group, who's to say that you're not the one who's supposed to give peace to someone who is there. But you're not getting plugged in. And who's to say that you don't need something from someone who is there? Like, it's a two-way street. Every one of us, we all have something on the inside of us that somebody needs. Right? And now is the time that we be the church and stop meeting so much in a building and be the church. Be who we're supposed to be. Awesome. I think I'm finished. Like, because this is the communion part, so I'm always really awkward with this part. I just don't ever know how to transition out of it. Communion is much like the two men. You know, though we're in a setting that's not the intimacy of your home or the intimacy of a room or your prayer closet, it's still a moment, a time that we can be intimate with Jesus. It's the same way that you can put headphones in and be in a crowded place and fix your eyes on him. It's the same way. Can we go ahead and play that? Yeah. So we're going to be doing this just a little bit different. Our ushers are going to take the elements and they're going to come down the rows as you grab one. They're not going to run, so you don't have to worry about being fast. But that's just how we're going to, that's how we're doing it. They're going to hand it. Okay, they're going to hand it to you. Got it. So the ushers who are going to be passing out the elements, you can go ahead and come and prepare for that. But let's go ahead and do this. As they do that, let's go ahead, let's just kind of close our eyes. And let's take this time really quickly. Let's just take a moment to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's take a moment. You see, because sometimes you have to close your eyes in order to see in the right perspective. And I'm a firm believer of that. Sometimes we have to close our eyes in order to truly see, to focus and to hone in on what it is that we're trying to look at. And they're going to be coming by, but I still want you to be able to focus and to simply just think about what this means, what this symbolizes. This is a new covenant. This is a better way of doing things. This is a way that is a lot easier for us. It's because of the body that was broken and it's because of the blood that was shed that we can be who we are today. Again, this isn't just a ritual that we perform. This is a life that we live in remembrance of him. And if you're online and you would like to do this with us as well, just grab whatever you have in your pantry. Yes, God, we thank you so much. Did everyone receive the elements? Some in the back? Okay. Can y'all take some to the back? Thank you. man, this bread that symbolizes the body that was broken. A body that was beaten so badly, you couldn't even recognize who he was. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy with it, but his body was ripped open for us. His body broken for us. And all the while, he continued to have us in mind. And as he's being hung on the cross, he still has us in mind. But you know, he also has those who are nailing his hands to the cross in mind. You know, when I think about communion, I think about the love that Jesus had to have, because if you think about Jesus and the life that he lived, he did nothing wrong. He only did what was good and what was right and what was true. He did nothing wrong. So if you ask me, there is nobody on this earth today who has a right to be upset or offended or mad at anything or anyone. Jesus is the only one who has that right, and he won't do it. Jesus is the only one who has the right to be upset, yet he has us in mind. He was betrayed. On the night that he was betrayed, he took this bread and he broke it. And he said, do these things in remembrance of me. Let me take the bread. Man, and his blood that was shed, a new covenant, a new way. Come on, if you think about it, listen, if you think about it, they could not kill Jesus. Blood pouring from his body, yet he was not dying. Well, why wasn't Jesus dying? It's because he had no sin. He was loved. They couldn't kill him, right? The wages of sin are death. But he took that on. And even then, he still couldn't die. He had to say, it is finished. Come on, they couldn't take his life. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't do it. He fully, completely gave his life for us. A new covenant, a new blood, a new way. He traded our blood and he gave us his. Come on, and then he took the cup. The blood of his new covenant. The blood that our transgressions are no more. That by his wounds we are healed. The blood. Again, and as often as you do this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Let me drink. Man, Jesus has you on his mind every single day. You are on his mind. And because you are on his mind, because I am on his mind, because we are on his mind, I'm going to choose to look up and allow him to be my source so that I can receive the sight that I need every single day to live this life. So if there's anything that you guys need here in just a moment, all right, we'll have some prayer team members down front. And they are here for you, to pray for you, and for you to receive a miracle if you need one. And I like to encourage people, please don't leave here without receiving your miracle. And even if the miracle you're looking for doesn't physically happen in this place or here today, it's going to happen. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we pray. We don't pray to see a move of God, because prayer is a move of God. So we pray. But let's go ahead and pray, and we'll wrap the service up. God, we just thank you so much for giving us the eyes to see. God, we thank you so much that you have come to this earth to teach man how to live, that you have come to teach man to walk after who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you didn't come to be right, but you came to make us right and to be righteous and to be our righteousness, Father, so that we can live your life. God, thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made and for everything that you did for us, because you had us in mind on that cross and you had us in mind through everything that you went through. And God, I just thank you so much that we're still on your mind, and that if there's that any needs that we have are being met, God. God, I thank you that we would have the right perspectives as we go each day in our life, Lord, that we would see you in everything, God. That we would see you in all people, that we would see people as you see people, because they're your beloved children. And so, God, right now, in all the calamity in our world, God, I just thank you that the church would rise up, that those who call themselves Christians and Christ-like ones and believers and followers, that they would rise up, Lord God, that they wouldn't come to be right, but Father, they would spread the righteousness of God throughout this earth. God, thank you so much for teaching us to do those things. God, we just love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.